It's Monday, the 28th of December, 2015. Happy birthday to John Henson. Welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Gibster Gib. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be just like Gibster Gib and be a sponsor of the podcast for a day, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes. It is that straightforward. And also make sure if you're living in Australia or New Zealand, you're checking out Moneyball.com.au and getting involved in all the daily fantasy sports action that they've got across on there. Not just for basketball, they've got NFL, they've got the Big Bash Cricket over here. For you people in the States who have no idea what that is, people over here will know what it is. EPL, A-League Soccer, all that sort of stuff is happening over on Moneyball. Also, just wanted to give a quick shout out to Twitter user at ShinShinny, who's on DraftKings today. Whose DraftKings username is IM2NV. He is a listener to the podcast and tweeted at me today, and he won big in a tournament today. So big shout out to IM2NV or ShinShinny for the huge payday that he got on DraftKings today. So congratulations for that. There was basketball today, clearly. Four games. We had 11 games to preview for Monday's action. Hopefully you were able to get a victory in your seasonal league. In one of my seasonal leagues, I got absolutely destroyed. The rare 9-0 loss I copped. I don't really know what happened to me this week. Oladipo was terrible. Bledsoe got injured. I was just useless. And that's it happens to everyone. Probably doesn't actually. I don't know how many of you have ever suffered a 9-0, and that 9 is including turnovers. A very disappointing loss for me in that league. Now my brother got me, so probably the worst person who could have beaten me, because now I'm going to hear about it for a very long time. But a 9-0 was not a good result for me. But enough of hearing about how I do in my leagues.
Let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night. Couldn't really go any other way with this one. I had to go with CJ McCollum of the Portland Trailblazers. He played 42 minutes, had 35 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, 4 steals, 1 block, hit 3 triples and went 14 of 28 from the field and 4 of 5 from the free throw line. This is sort of what we've been waiting for from CJ with Damian Lillard out. I mentioned it on yesterday's podcast that his production had been basically the same with Lillard or without Lillard. But today was something else. Today was sort of what we were hoping was going to happen from CJ over this stretch with Lillard out. And what he's doing at the moment also is he's increasing his assist rate like significantly. He's in the season, he's at 4.3 a game, but over the last 2 weeks, he's at 6.3 assists per game and 2.7 triples at 22 points. He's putting up fantastic numbers. His per 36 numbers, it's along the lines of a Jimmy Butler improvement from last season. He's got, for extra 5 points per 36, more threes per 36, more rebounds, almost double the assists per 36, and he's also improved his free throws up from 69 to 85%. So just massive, massive rises from CJ McCollum. So it doesn't all come down to an increase in playing time, because he's gone from 15 minutes to 35 minutes, but he's taken that extra playing time and he's improved his game almost double in a lot of categories, and just a significant improvement in what he's been able to do. So CJ McCollum has been a superb player this season. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Mo Harkless, CJ's Portland teammate, who played 33 minutes and went 13-6. He had an assist, but also nabbed 3 steals and got 2 blocks on 6 of 9 shooting. Harkless is a guy that I've spoken about quite a bit over the years, talking about his potential. He's never really seemed to be able to realize it. Today he did. Obviously, he's aided by the fact that Lillard was out. He got some extra minutes, but in the games previous to this, he hadn't really been getting any extra minutes, and I don't think that this is any sort of sign that we need to go and go and add Mo Harkless in leagues or anything like that. He was a great DFS option if you happen to use him. He was a great streaming option, but he's just not getting enough run, and he hasn't been productive enough, and even his per 36 numbers just have... Look, he's only averaging 10 points per 36 minutes this year. 1.1 steals and 0.7 blocks. They're very, very poor numbers. So this is just one that was a little bit out of the box for Mo Harkless. If you somehow capitalize on that, congratulations. I wouldn't be expecting it to continue. But he did look really good doing it, and he's a guy who I do think has got quite a bit of ability. So maybe it's not that far-fetched that he did it. The young gun of the night, we're going to go with...
Porzingis.
Kristaps Porzingis played 28 minutes. He had 16 and 12. His shooting was poor, 4 of 13, but he added 2 steals and 3 blocks and hit all 8 of his free throws. He has been in somewhat of a slump, but when you're in a slump and you're still getting, you know, 3 blocks and 2 steals and a double-double, you'll take that. So not quite the top 20 guy that he was for a stretch earlier in the season, but still a comfortable top 50 player at the moment. His last 2 weeks, he's going 12 and 7.5 with a 3 and almost 3 blocks. And he's shooting 34% from the field. So if he could take that shooting up to 42 or 43, you couple that with his 91% from the free throw line, I think you'd be really happy with that production. And obviously the free throws is just something that's really hurting you at the moment. But otherwise, he's putting up, you know, fantastic value. And it's really a huge surprise to a lot of people that he's this good. And he's only going to get better. I think that's fairly safe to say. The dart of the night, Jared Sullinger, was not great. He played 24 minutes. That wasn't the problem. 1 of 9 from the field for 3 points, 6 rebounds. Just not a good night from Sullinger at all. He's had a few stinkers of late. He's still a top 100 player on the season, but his last couple of weeks have been really, really poor because his shooting has dropped significantly. He's shooting only 39% from the field over that time, and also 43% from the free throw line. And that's something that's really decreased from him. His last 3 seasons, he's been 74% plus from the free throw line. This year, he's only at 59%. So it's a little bit weird what's happened to his shooting there. Also, his field goal percentage is way down. A 44% guy last year, as I mentioned, 42 this year, but only 39 over the last month. So really dropping off. The minutes aren't pushing up to that 27 where they were earlier in the season. I still like Sullinger's upside, but I don't think he's necessarily a must-hold at the moment with the way that things are trending down with him, the way that Kelly Olynyk's pushing up, and the way that Brad Stevens uses that rotation. He's not necessarily going to be a guy who's a must-own player moving forward. The daily fantasy value play of the night is Larry Nance of the Los Angeles Lakers. He was minimum salary, $3,500, and he put up 34.7 points. That's obviously pretty huge. He had his first career double-double, 17 and 11 in 25 minutes, added 2 steals, and went 8 of 12 from the field. Much like Mo Harkless, I don't think this is necessarily a sign of things to come with Larry Nance, but he's been okay. You know, when you're shooting 58% from the field and giving, you know, 7.5 and 5 rebounds with half a steal and 0.3 blocks, that's useful for, say, 16 or 18 team leagues. Doesn't come into standard league conversations, even though he's starting. He's not playing starters minutes. He's playing that backup in a 22-23 minute role. And I don't think he's going to become a standard league player really at any point this season, unless this is just the start of something that gets him kicked off and everything starts really rolling from here. I don't necessarily think that's the case, but he's someone to keep an eye on because he's shown a couple of flashes this year, definitely more flashes than you expect from the 27th pick in the draft, which is what he was. And even when he was picked at that spot, it was somewhat of a surprise. So, you know, kudos to the Lakers for that pick. He's looked better than anyone who's normally picked at that spot. So he's working out all right, but I don't think that we need to get too fussed about him from a fantasy point of view. All right, that does it for the daily awards, guys. Let's bring up the box scores. And let's start to go through them now in that little bit extra detail that we usually do. Make that a little bit bigger so you guys can see it. That's a bit better. There we go. That's for you guys watching along, obviously. Audio people, you just kind of have to imagine that I made the screen bigger. The first game to look at, the Los Angeles Lakers and the Memphis Grizzlies. This was brutal. If you're a Lakers fan, you would not have been happy there. Defense was deplorable. They just didn't guard anyone on the three-point line, in the paint. Just brutal. And that's the way it's going to be for this team. The minutes were spread all over the place. Lou Williams played the most minutes, and he was bad. 2 of 10 for 5 points. He's still a guy that I think has to be owned, but given the minutes, and this was just a one-off bad production game. D'Angelo Russell, 10 points with 3 assists. Jordan Clarkson, 12 with 3. And Kobe had 19 and 3. But these guys played 25 minutes for Russell, 27 minutes for Clarkson, and 24 for Kobe. In something that was bizarre to me, what Kobe did. He played all 12 minutes of the first quarter, set out the entire second quarter, played all 12 minutes of the third quarter, set out the entire final quarter. And Byron Scott said it was because Kobe had a sore knee coming in and he didn't want him to, you know, start and stop. To me, that is bizarre because I would have thought that sitting down for an entire quarter plus the break between the first and the second quarters plus halftime would have enabled Genie to get a lot colder and therefore more stiffer coming into the third quarter. Just a bizarre substitution pattern to make this guy play 12 minutes straight without having a breather. But it's Byron Scott, so if something's dumb, it's probably going to come from him. Kobe was still, he started off on fire as well. He had ended up with 19 points, 2 threes and 3 assists, so not a terrible night from Kobe, but yeah, not his best performance. Not much else. Look, the Lakers, they're just a mess. Not much more we can really talk about with them. On to the Grizzlies, Mike Conley. Well, actually, before we talk about the Grizzlies, we need to talk about the fact that their highest minutes player was Mario Chalmers at 29 and then Jermichael Green at 27. That's how much the minutes were spread. Conley, Gasol were still productive. Conley went 19-4-5 with 4 steals. Gasol went 16-3-6 in his 23 minutes. But this is a factor playing against the Lakers. Basically, everyone playing them, it's blowout time. The starters play limited minutes, and it really has an impact in DFS. So I don't think there's much. If we look at Chalmers and go 11-5-7, yeah, that's good in 29 minutes, but Conley's not going to play 24 minutes moving forward. So we take basically the results of this game with a grain of salt. The same thing when you look at Matt Barnes playing 22 minutes and going 5-8, and you go, well, that's not good. Do I drop Matt Barnes? Well, I'm not dropping Matt Barnes, but I'm looking at it and going, okay, it's the Lakers. The minutes were limited. Let's see what happens when he gets back to 30 in the next game. So not really huge amounts to take away from this game. The Denver Nuggets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Nuggets kept it close for a bit and on the back of Kenneth Faried, who had one of his best games of the season, 25-11 with a couple of blocks on 12 of 20 shooting. He played just 29 minutes. I don't think he's ever going to be a guy who's going to be able to play 30 minutes consistently. That just doesn't seem to be who he is as a player, but a big night there. Jameer Nelson in place of Emmanuel Mudiay was good again. And when Nelson gets minutes, it's very hard to work out when Nelson's going to get big minutes. It's very hard. The last game, I think he played 24. He played 43 here. He went 15-8-5 with 3 threes. So that's a great result for DFS. And he's been a decent standard league ad while Mudiay's out as well. And I think he still retains a 23-24 minute role once Mudiay returns. The greatest basketballer of all time, Will Barton, scored 19 points with 5 rebounds and 5 assists in his 35 minutes. Just continues to defy all logic to me. And Gary Harris was pretty good too. 16 points, 3 assists, 2 steals and a couple of threes. And Harris is a guy that I don't mind adding in 12-team leagues. He's probably doesn't quite have the value in 12-team leagues at the moment, but you can see him getting better and you can see him producing that value moving forward. Mike Malone's center rotations again just continue to confound us. Joffrey Lavernier played 31 in this one and went 18-4, while Nikola Jokic, who'd been on fire, played 17 and went 7-3 with 2 assists, a steal and a 3. So if you can work it out, you're better than me. Jokic went 22-7-5 in the last game, and then Malone went, nah, you can just sit and play 17 in this one while we play Lavernier 31. I still think that Jokic is the best option out of those two, and the return of Yusuf Nurkic is going to make that obviously much more complicated. But Jokic, I think, continues to play 20 minutes even when Nurkic returns. Still, it's a massive pain in the ass, as you're probably aware. Onto the Thunder, Russell Westbrook went 39-12 with 2 threes, and Durant went 26-5-10 with 3 threes. So they did exactly what they needed to do. But Enes Kanter was probably the biggest surprise here. He was fantastic off the bench, 21-8, a steal and a block, superb percentages. He was almost impossible to keep off the offensive glass, grabbing 5 rebounds there, and that's what he can do. Predicting when he's going to get 25 minutes is tough. He has borderline 12-team league value if you just need points and rebounds, especially if you're in a double-double league. He can get you more double-doubles than a lot of those guys that are on the waiver wire, but his overall lack of defense is going to cap the minutes that he gets. Steven Adams played 22 here. He had 2-3. Not a good night from Steven Adams. And Serge Ibaka went 19-4 with 3 blocks. So a pretty decent night from him. What I did like from the Thunder in this one is that they played campaign 12 minutes. He looked good down the stretch. He hit a couple of threes, had 4 rebounds and 2 assists. And I've gone on about campaign quite a bit over the course of the preseason and through the season. I really, really like him for a dynasty long-term stash sort of player, because I think in 2 or 3 years' time, he's going to be a really significant fantasy option. Not necessarily on this team, but he's going to be a guy who's going to be Reggie Jackson sort of style, demanding a bigger role, Dennis Schroeder sort of style, you know, forcing his way into a bigger role on this team or another team. He's not going to be replacing Westbrook, so he'll most likely be on another team, unless Westbrook leaves, which obviously Thunder fans don't want to happen. Onto the Knicks, Carmelo Anthony went 29-10 with a couple of threes, and not much else to really talk about with this team. Jose Calderon stunk in 22 minutes, went 2-2. Aaron Aflalo went 4-4 in 33 minutes. His shot wasn't falling, and when his shot doesn't fall, his game is trash. He provides nothing. This is why I'm not a fan of Aaron Aflalo. Derek Fisher decided that he would run Sasha Vujicic over Jerian Grant. If you can work out that logic, I'd love to know what it is. 15 minutes for Vucic, 4-2, while Grant did not get in the game at all. Neither did Kevin Seraphin. And Robin Lopez got himself back up to 30 minutes, 8-6 with a block, but the reliability factor of Robin Lopez is pretty low. On the Celtics, Jay Crowder, 18-6 with 3 threes. Kelly Olynyk in just 21 minutes was fantastic again. 11-9-2, 2 steals, a block, a 3. I don't know what to say with Kelly. I own him in 12-team leagues, even with the return of Amir Johnson. I'm just waiting to see what happens over the next couple of weeks. But once David Lee returns, he could go back to 19 minutes, 18 minutes, and have his ability curtailed. But he is the most talented of these big men on this team, and he deserves more minutes. So I think holding him is not a bad option. Amir Johnson went 8-7 with a steal and 2 blocks, and he's starting to get into the 12-team league conversation. Not a must-own, but he's getting there. And Marcus Smart returned after missing the last 18 games. He played 13 minutes off the bench, went 6-3 with a 3-pointer. He's someone that you can add if you want. Nice rebounds from a point guard, some threes and some steals, but you got to watch for his percentage hit. So he's not a must-own player in my mind. Avery Bradley also stunk, but he still got 31 minutes, 6 points, 2 assists, a steal and a block, while Isaiah Thomas went 21-8-6 and not his greatest shooting night. The last game of the night was the Portland Trailblazers and the Sacramento Kings. Myers Leonard, 16-11, 4 threes, 2 assists. I mentioned him yesterday. I think that you can go and look at adding him. It might not work out, but he's definitely trending in the right direction, and this was a great game from him. He's got to take this starting job back off Noah Vonleh, but in the end, I don't care as long as he plays 30 minutes. Vonleh was 14 minutes for 2-3. He's just not cut out for big minutes in the NBA. Al-Farouq Aminu just can't get minutes at the moment. 23 for him here, 5 points, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. He'd just likely go out and have 4 steals, 4 blocks in the next game, but I don't necessarily think he's a must-own player. He's yet to crack 30 minutes in about the last 4 games. He's been unproductive, and with Leonard coming up, some of the minutes are going to be absorbed away from Aminu into Leonard. Keep an eye on that situation, but I don't think Aminu is someone you have to hold, especially in a 10-team league. Mason Plumlee struggled with fouls, played 22 minutes only, 4-6 with a steal and a block. Not his best night, but he'd been in pretty good form prior to that. And Alan Crabb rolled his ankle, returned to the game, had 10 points with 2 threes. And again, if his shot doesn't fall and he went 4 of 13, he doesn't normally provide a huge amount else. On the Kings, Omri Caspi, 14-10, 3 threes, a steal and 2 blocks, just been incredible, and he's a must-own player. DeMarcus Cousins, 36-6, a steal and 2 blocks, and 2 threes for Boogie, and actually shot over 45%, so that's a bit of a bonus given the way he's been shooting this year. And Rajon Rondo chimed in with 15 assists and 3 steals to go along with his 9 points. Darren Collison had been playing well, not his greatest night, 10 points, but still added 3 steals and 2 assists, and he's a real back-end 12-team league guy at the moment, while Rudy Gay killed you with your field goals, 2 from 12 from the field for 7 points, but did add 14 rebounds, so not a terrible night from Rudy Gay, and Ben McLemore just can't seem to get run, 19 minutes for Ben with 5 points. All right, guys, that does it for the review of Sunday's games. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to talk about the 11 games for Monday.
This is the part with just the guitar, while we wait on the bass and drums. I'll sing of love and you from afar. Well, here they come in now, me and the sky.
After that break, and thank you to the band Joe Hero for producing that song for us. Well, not specifically for us, that's one of their songs, but for allowing us to use it. And the song is called Formula Rock Song Number 1. So you can check out the links on the website, redrockbasketball.com, and click the links to see the music from Joe Hero, who is a band based in North Carolina, I'm pretty sure. I hope I got that right. I apologize if I didn't. Let's look at these games now for Monday. The first one of those is Los Angeles Lakers and the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets are favored by 12.5. The total is 201.5. A couple of injuries to pay attention to. Not really, because I think these guys will play. Nick Batum is dealing with a hand bruise. It doesn't sound serious. He's going to be all right. Marvin Williams is dealing with a neck issue. Again, he's going to be okay. The one who probably isn't going to play is Spencer Hawes with a back problem. He didn't play the last game. He looks doubtful to play this one. On the Lakers side of things, Kobe Bryant dealing with that knee problem. He wants to play this game. He wants to play a game in each arena for the season is what it looks like. So he looks like he's going to push himself through, but he might not play big minutes. Byron Scott might do the good old, you know, first and third quarter rotation with him, giving him only 24 minutes. So that limits his DFS effectiveness. Now, without Spencer Hawes and with Al Jefferson just basically being terrible this season, Cody Zeller is priced at 4,300. He could still see himself getting 27 minutes, and he's an okay punt option. At 4,300, if he gives you 23 fantasy points, which is exactly what his average is over the last three games, that's over 5x value. And it's against the Lakers, so if Jefferson's not right, they're not going to force him out there. They can give Zeller more run. He's worth a look, as is Frank Kaminsky, who's priced at 4,000. And he's actually averaging more than what Cody Zeller is over the last three games. He's probably a little bit more risky to me than Zeller because he's one step down the depth chart, but he's been really good of late, so not bad punt options. I like Jeremy Lin as a cash game play. He's at 5,200. He's got revenge game factor. He's getting decent minutes, and he's against possibly the worst defense in the NBA. It's very easy for point guards. He's the backup point guard. He plays a lot of shooting guard because PJ Hairston doesn't get many minutes as the starter. Lin's lowest score across his last five games has been almost 21. If he gives you 27 points, that's well over value. And I think there's a massive chance that he could go for 30 in this game. His average over his last five is 30. I think he's a really good play despite him coming. Don't let him coming off the bench make you think that he's a bad play because he's been getting basically starters minutes off the bench. Nick Batum at 7,200 put up 47 in the last game. The hand injury is not dissuading me from using him against this Lakers team. But the only problem is, if they're up by 20, do these guys play 25 minutes? I don't think that applies to Lin, but I think it does apply to Batum, and I think it does apply to Kemba Walker, whose price has come down under 8,000, and that makes him more appealing. At 7,900 against this easy backcourt, he put up 42 in the last game. Can he put up 40 again? I think it's probably a bit harder for him to do at that salary to give you a good return on investment, especially with the situation against the Lakers. He could play 5 or 6 less minutes than what he normally does. On the Lakers side of things, there's not much that I love, to be honest. And by not much, I mean basically nothing. Lou Williams is averaging less than 9 points across his last three games. That's fantasy points, not scoring. Can't use him. You can throw him out there in a tournament, but I'm not confident with it. Jordan Clarkson's just not getting it done. D'Angelo Russell at 5,300, he has a little bit of interest, averaging 22 points across his last three, but it's not the smartest of plays, I don't think. Do you think Larry Nance can back it up? I don't really think that he's going to be that guy again and getting that big double-double, especially against a Hornets team who has been quite good at defending big men. And Roy Hibbert, forget about that. This guy, I don't even know what's going on with Roy Hibbert anymore. He's averaging less than 11 points across the last three games, and at 4,500, at any salary, you need to give more than 11 points to be useful, and he just isn't. The Atlanta Hawks and the Indiana Pacers is the next game that's up. The Pacers are favored by 2. The total is 206.5 points. Kyle Korver and Thabo Sefolosha are both listed as probable on the official injury report due to ankle rehab. I don't think you need to be concerned about that whatsoever. And Rodney Stuckey is also probable with an ankle. Now, he played through that injury in the last game and played basically his same usual level of minutes, so I don't think that that's really any concern for Rod Stuckey, who's been putting up some pretty nice numbers. In terms of value in this game, 6,100 for Jeff Teague is not a bad price. He's been averaging 35.8 across the last three games. But going up against George Hill, at 6,100, can he get 30 points? I'm not that confident against George Hill, so I'd probably steer clear of him. George Hill, on the other hand, at 5,400, has been seeing a spike in his production. Can he get you 27 points? I'm a little bit more confident of him doing that against the Hawks, who aren't great defenders of point guards. CJ Miles has been struggling lately. Don't really love him. 4,900 for Jordan Hill is definitely worth a look in a cash game format, because he's been, like, his last five games, his highest score has been 30, but his lowest has been 17.5. So that's not too bad when you're talking about a guy who's less than 5,000 in salary. Paul George, he was at 10,000 at one stage. He's down to 8,800. His play has dropped off significantly. 27.7 across the last three. That's not good enough at that salary. If you think he can bounce back, by all means, I don't have that much confidence in him in this matchup. nor would I be running out Kyle Korver, who's also struggling of late. Don't think there's many great matchups in this one, to be honest. Al Horford at 6,900 and not against the Pacers' front line. Dennis Schroeder is not a terrible play, but he's almost at 5,000. He's at 4,800. He's averaging 24.8 points, which is sort of where it needs to be. So I don't think that he's a great option either. Paul Millsap at 8,300, that feels too high despite his big game, but the Pacers, again, that's not a really nice matchup for him. Monte Ellis at 5,800 is someone who's maybe worth looking at, but all in all, with 11 games on the slate, I don't think there's much that you can really get out of this one. The Los Angeles Clippers and the Washington Wizards is the next game that we're going to take a look at. Obviously, Blake Griffin is out again, and how Doc Rivers handles that position remains to be seen. He's got a zero at small forward. He could have a zero at power forward. He started Josh Smith there last time, who played 5 minutes. Does he go back to 27 minutes of Paul Pierce? I would be shocked. Smith could get some extra minutes. Wes Johnson can get some extra minutes. None of them are reliable. Jamal Crawford is bound to have a decent game, and he's got a spot here with Austin Rivers out and against a relatively easy Wizards team in terms of giving up points to shooting guards. He's worth looking at as minimum salary in a tournament. His recent form has definitely not shown that, but he'll be low owned, and I think that he's got a chance to go out and put up 25 points, and that would be definitely a good return on investment. Not a cash game play though. I like DeAndre Jordan at 7,600. He'll get extra run or extra looks and extra rebounds without Blake Griffin. He put up 40 in the last game at 7,600. That's plenty. And JJ Redick at 4,800. He's in a good matchup. And without Blake Griffin, again, extra usage. He was a top 30 seasonal league player for the stretch that Griffin was out last season. So we could be seeing some big nights from Redick coming up. A 30-point night is not out of the question for him. As for those melange of crap that plays at the 3 and the 4, Wes Johnson, Luke Marmute, Lance Stevenson, Josh Smith, I don't think I want to run any of them out there. If I'm throwing one of them into the tournament, it's Wes Johnson at 3,500 at minimum salary, but I probably wouldn't. Chris Paul at 9,000 is intriguing because there is no Blake Griffin. He's basically been a 45-point guy across the last few weeks, and at 9,000, that's fine. His lowest score in the last five is 40 points. That makes him a very, very enticing cash game play, even though he's going up against John Wall. And John Wall, on the other hand, is still pretty good as well. 10,000 for him. You pay that extra 1,000. He's averaging 45 across his last five, the same as Chris Paul. So if I'm picking between those two, I'm picking Paul. But Wall is not someone that's out of the out of the scope of being used. Jared Dudley at 4,100. It wasn't that great in the last game, but he's not a terrible option. I like Marcin Gortat at 7,100. He's been a 40-point guy basically over the last three games, over the last five games pretty much. And I think that he can make up that salary of 7,100. And Ramon Sessions at 4,000 is a tournament play. He can go for 24 or 25. And at 4,000, that's what you need. But don't love him really against the Clippers. Kelly Oubre, it all depends on, I guess, if you think that he is going to go back to the bench and Otto Porter is going to go back to 30 minutes. If not, Oubre is at 3,700. He put up 23.7 in the last game. Not a bad guy to have a punt on in a tournament. I think that he could be okay, but you need to sort of check if there's any news on if Porter's going back into the starting lineup or what they're doing at that small forward position. The next game is the New Orleans Pelicans and the Orlando Magic. The Magic are favored by 4.5. The total is 203.5 points. Alexey Ajinsa, who's missed the last few games, is going to be active after suffering that calf strain, so he's going to play. Don't think we're going to see any CJ Watson from the Magic. I love Nick Vucevic here at 8,000. He's been getting big minutes. He's regained Skiles' trust. I don't think this game is necessarily going to be a blowout, so I don't think there's much risk of these guys sitting. He put up almost 50 in his last game. He's got a 41.5-point average over his last five. And at 8,000, he's really consistent. I love Nick Vucevic at this price. 6,300 for Toby Harris is also something that is pretty enticing to me. He's averaging over 30 across the last five games. The minutes have been up for him. He's been putting in some nice work. Lord Alfred Payton, not quite as enticing as those two, but still pretty good at 6,500. I'd want him to get to 30 points, so he's not quite there yet with his averages, averaging just 27 across the last five. But it is an easier matchup against the Pelicans. They do allow point guards to run amok a lot of the time, so not someone to shy away from. Whereas Anthony Davis at 10,400, he's got an average of over 50 for his last three games. His lowest score in his last five is 39.4. At 10,400, I think he's a relatively safe play. He's basically getting 40 minutes a night. I think that, especially if they're going to put Channing Frye or even Nick Vucevic on him defensively, I think that he's going to be able to put up some pretty big numbers. Evan Fournier has been sort of back in the swing of things, 5,200 for him. That price is probably a little bit high for what I would want to pay to get him into a lineup. 7,400 for Tyreek, maybe. 34.7 average over three, 7,400 doesn't quite work out to me. So I reckon you can find some better point guard options like Drew Holiday at 5,500. Drew's a guy that can put up 30 points. The restrictions seem to be off. He might get 30 minutes. Might get the ball in his hand more. The Magic do allow point guards to go pretty well. I'd rather spend $2,000 less and put Drew in than put Tyreek in. Do you believe that Eric Gordon can shoot as well as he did in the last game? Probably not. 5,300 for him, though. He's been pretty good lately. 27.5 point average over his last five. And the worst score he's had there is 21.7. So not a complete killer. So not a terrible cash game guy to have a look at. Victor Oladipo has not been good. He's been terrible, so I don't think we'll use him in any sort of lineups. And Mario Hezonja may be a tournament because the minutes have been creeping up for him. His minimum salary, he's averaging 15 points across the last three. You want him to do a little bit more than that, but it's been trending in the right direction. So he's someone that if you're creating multiple lineups, maybe put Hezonja in one of them and maybe this is the day that he has a big game. Brooklyn and Miami is the next game on track. The Heat are favored by 9.5. The total is 194 in this game. Josh McRoberts has already been ruled out, but Tyler Johnson looks like he's going to be able to play, so that's going to reduce Gerald Green's effectiveness, taking about 10 minutes off Gerald Green's playing time. Dwayne Wade at 7,300 against this Nets team, which is bad. I think that Wade can have a 35 or 36 point game here. The salary of 7,300. Against, you know, probably the easiest shooting guard team to play against. I like him here. Goran Dragic at 6,000 has been finding his form a little bit. He put up 34 in the last game. He's got a 28-point average over the last five. Nets bump means that I don't hate using Goran here, although it is difficult given the way that he's played this season. 3,800 for Bojan Bogdanović on the Nets. Yeah, he's been a consistent guy, basically giving you 19 or 20 points most nights. And at 3,800, that's sort of consistent cash game level. If you've got a lot of these big name players in your lineup, you can maybe throw Boyan out there. Maybe he gets hot, maybe he doesn't. Hassan Whiteside, it all comes down to minutes for him. 7,500 is his price tag. It doesn't all come down to minutes, because in his last game he put up only 20 points, but he played 37 minutes. But generally when he plays 30 plus minutes, he gets a big line. He's a 35 point average across his last five. I don't mind him as a high-priced or mid-priced sort of center guy, but I think there are probably some other better options out there. Chris Bosh at 7,400. He's been on fire lately. I'm okay riding, and it's not like the Nets are going to really shut him down. And Thad Young at 7,000 has been killing it. He's at 43.47 across his last three games average. He's been getting double-doubles pretty much every time he goes out there. So Thad Young is someone that you can construct a pretty decent lineup around. He's been a real surprise packet this year. Jarrett Jack at 6,500. No, that's a bit too expensive for me. Brook Lopez at 8,000. I don't think I want to spend 8,000 on Brook Lopez, especially going up against Hassan Whiteside. Gerald Green had been a decent play, but I don't really like getting him out there with Tyler Johnson looking to return to the lineup. And I don't think there's a huge amount of other guys that I really bear too much consideration. The next game is the Raptors and the Chicago Bulls. Jonas Valanciunas is going to make his return, so that means we don't want to use Jonas Valanciunas. We don't also want to use Bismack Biyombo, because he'd been a great play, but we don't know how the minutes are going to be split. Now, Valanciunas had an injury to his hand, so it's not like he couldn't have done any conditioning, so he shouldn't be out of breath or anything like that. He should have been doing all the running, which he has been. So could he go straight back into 29 minutes? Yeah, there's a chance, and that's going to limit Biyombo. So the risk there, as tasty as the matchup looks for both of these guys, going up against the Bulls, maybe throw them into a tournament. 5,700 for Valanciunas, 49 for Biyombo. But we don't know how it's going to break down, so it makes it hard to use them with great confidence. I do like Taj Gibson at 4,700. He's been putting up big numbers lately and, you know, getting big minutes as well. And Nikola Mirotic at 5,200 put up almost 43 in the last game. He's got a 30-point average across his last three. Let's hope that Fred Hoiberg saw, hey, you know what, if we leave Mirotic out there, he can actually put up things and help us. Confidence level is not high from me in Hoiberg and in Mirotic for that matter. So I don't want to rely upon him in a cash game, but the ceiling is massive for him. 8,900 for Pau Gasol. He's been, you know, bringing that value home, but at 8,900, he's not giving enough. He needs to be at 44, 45 points, which he's been down to the 41 mark the last couple of games. So that's a little bit frustrating, given how good he's been, that the salary is just that margin too high. And Jimmy Butler at 8,500. There's no real good high price shooting guards on the board, but doesn't mean that you have to go and use Jimmy Butler, because at 8,500, he's not returning enough value at that sort of salary. Damari Carroll in a similar situation for Jonas Valanciunas. I can't believe I just said Jonas. Jonas Valanciunas. For Carroll, played minutes off the bench. We don't know if he's going to go back to 34. I'd probably leave him alone in this one. And DeMar DeRozan at 8,000. He's been averaging basically the same as Jimmy Butler. It's $500 less, but he's got to face up against Jimmy Butler, so they'll probably cancel that out. And neither of those guys are must-play players to me. And Kyle Lowry at 8,700, just not returning the value at the moment, even though he's going up against Derrick Rose, which is a relatively favorable matchup. Rose looked good in the last game, 6,400 for him. He put up 34 points, but that salary is just too high given his level of production we've seen basically over the course of the season. Next up, we have the Milwaukee Bucks and the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks are favored by 6.5. The total is 198.5 here. We're not likely to see Darren Williams in this one. And for the Bucks, we need to check the status of John Henson, who's questionable with a back issue, didn't practice on Sunday. And Jared Bayless, who's been out for weeks now with that ankle, but he did practice on Sunday, so he could be coming back. And that could stuff up anything that's happening in this backcourt. For the Mavericks, we're assuming Darren's out, so JJ Barea at 4,100 has been just killing teams at the moment. It is a tough matchup against the Bucks, but still, at that value, I think you have to use him. And Chandler Parsons at 4,500, getting back on track. The minutes restrictions are over for him. They said, we're not going to have minutes restrictions. We just don't want him to go over mid-30s. I'll take mid-30s. Play him 35 minutes. I'm fine with that. He put up 34.5 in the last game. I think he's tremendous value against a Bucks team whose perimeter defense hasn't been quite where it's needed to be. Wes Matthews is a punt play only at $5,000, hasn't been living up to that salary lately, so I can leave him alone. Giannis was terrible in the last game, and I don't want to spend $6,800 on him given the way that he's been playing of late. And Greg Monroe had his first game over 30 minutes in the Bucks' last outing, and at $7,600, that salary is probably a little bit too high for me. Also, Michael Carter-Williams at 6,500 has been killing it, but if Bayless returns, does that perhaps cut into Carter-Williams? So if Bayless is out, I'm all for using Carter-Williams at 6,500. If Bayless returns, I'm a bit more hesitant. Dirk Nowitzki at 6,900. He's got a 30-point average across his last three. The Bucks do allow power forwards to get some numbers. I don't hate using Dirk here in a cash game. He's been really consistent. Don't think he's got much tournament upside, but I think he does have some cash game value. And 6,200 for Chris Middleton. He's been averaging 35 points across his last five. He's someone who I reckon you can get out there and be relatively confident with using him. OJ Mayo, Raymond Felton, a couple of guys who were must plays earlier on, not quite at that level anymore. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs are favored by 15. The total is 195. If we learned anything from the last time these two teams faced off, is that Andrew Wiggins, you do not want to touch him with Kawhi Leonard facing up against him. So let's just scrub Wiggins off our board straight away. Gorgui Dieng at 5,100. He is a little bit of a quiet game. I think that he can bounce back in this one, although against the Spurs, it's not the greatest spot to deploy him. Kawhi at 8,800. I think we can get him out there. 40-point average across his last three. At 8,800, you probably want him to do a little bit more, but it's not the worst play to use. But I do like Karl Anthony Towns. He's up to 7,700, so that's obviously high. And the Spurs defense does complicate things, but he's been getting big minutes. He's got an average of 35.4 across his last five games. You could do worse, but you could also do better. Zach LaVine, no. Ricky Rubio, nah. Although Rubio's been good, but again, against the Spurs, his salary's gone up. No thanks. LaMarcus Aldridge is too high for me, and I've already told you that please don't play Andrew Wiggins. Watch Andrew Wiggins go for 30. Watch him have a triple-double with 30 points in this game now that I've said that. The next game, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Utah Jazz. We need to check the status of Derek Favors, who sat out the last game with back spasms. Also, Jahlil Okafor seems very unlikely to play for the Philadelphia 76ers, but Rashawn Holmes will play. So, Ish Smith at 4,500, one of the better plays on the board. His first game for the Sixers netted you 25 fantasy points at 4,500. You'd be pretty happy with that. Another 25 could be coming his way here. And I think Nerlens Noel, if Okafor doesn't play as expected, at 5,800, Noel is not a terrible guy to look at in the tournament. He put up 33 in that game. He's actually averaging 26 across his last three, so his production has increased. Rod Hood at 4,500, with Alec Burks out for the next 6 weeks, Hood should start to step it up a notch, hopefully. So at 4,500, I think he's worth looking at. And Gordon Hayward, especially if Favors is out, he put up 42.7 in the last game without Favors. An easy matchup, 7,400. Happy to go out and run with him. As for the who's taking the replacement or who's taking the value from Alec Burks, I think it's going to be spread. We saw Raul Neto play 30 minutes in the last game. Trey Burke just got 18. Those two guys will probably take most of that. Does it go to Neto? Does it go to Burke? I would obviously prefer that it goes to Burke because he's the more fantasy-friendly guy, but it's not necessarily going to run that way. I don't think either of them are must-own players in standard leagues, and I don't think either of them are must-roster players here for DFS. Although Neto at 3,700, he put up 19 in the last game. Could he give you 20 points? Yeah, there's a possibility, but I don't really love it at all. Carl Andrew's an interesting one. Minimum salary too. Still, he's played two games. He's averaging 23 points across those games. If Okafor's out, we might see 20 more minutes from Carl Andrew. We might see 20 more fantasy points. And at minimum salary, that's not too bad. So I don't think he's going to be owned in very many places. And if he gives you 25 points at minimum salary, that's a massive win. Don't ignore Carl Andrew. The other guy you can look at is Nick Stauskas at 3,700, who really thrived playing next to Ish Smith. He put up 28 fantasy points. He could also be a guy in a tournament at that minimum salary. There's definite upside for him there. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns are a complete mess. We spoke about it on yesterday's podcast. Today they've fired a couple of assistant coaches. It looks like Devin Booker is going to be the starter for the Suns tomorrow. Markieff Morris is still out with that suspension. Brandon Knight at 7,000 becomes one of the better plays of the day without Eric Bledsoe, who is now out for the next 6 weeks. Talked about it last night. A little bit, we didn't know the time frame, but he's out until the All-Star break now. I don't love anyone as a pickup. TJ Warren, PJ Tucker, Devin Booker, Sonny Weems, Ronnie Price, all of these guys are going to get extra run, and I don't think anyone's going to be the big winner. If I'm picking up anyone, it depends what I want. If I want some threes, I'll go and grab Booker, but if I want some defensive numbers, PJ Tucker played 38 minutes in the game with Bledsoe out, so he could be the guy that helps you in those rebounds from the shooting guard position, get you a three, and get you some steals. Really depends on what you need. As for DFS, maybe you throw PJ Tucker in at 3,700. Maybe you throw Devin Booker in at 36. Both of those could have value in a tournament, but I don't trust it for a cash game. I like John Lua for a cash game, though. 4,600, no Markeith. Put up 30 in the last game. He should get close to 30 minutes. He should be a decent play. LeBron James is going to be pissed, I think. Two substandard games from him in a row, two losses, $10,000. This has got 50 fantasy points written all over it. Against the Suns team, who is terrible against wing players, he's in for a pretty decent night, I think. And not much else really stands out. Kevin Love maybe at 7,500 against the Suns, but I don't really like that salary for him. And yeah, not much else really stands out. Not using Kyrie until we know that he can get back to getting decent minutes. The last game of the night is the Golden State Warriors and the Sacramento Kings. Steph Curry is considered probable with that calf issue. I think he will play. Leandro Barbosa has already been ruled out with a shoulder issue, and Harrison Barnes is doubtful with the ankle. Omri Caspi at 5,100 continues to be a guy that you got to keep using. Put up another 32 today. Love that. 9,900 for DeMarcus Cousins. He's basically, his last five games, he's averaging 45 points, and his minimum is 41. That's got cash game star written all over it at that salary. And Draymond Green at 9,200 is pretty similar to Boogie in that sense. He's got an average of 45.8 and a minimum of 37.8 across the last five. And he's in a pretty decent spot here. So I love using Draymond. I think Cousins is definitely worth a look as well. Klay Thompson, we saw what he could do to the Kings last season when he had that 37-point quarter. It's not like the Kings' defense has gotten that much better. At 7,200, you can use him. I'm not overly thrilled with getting him out there, but I think that he's worth a look. As is Andrew Bogut at 4,300, which might seem an odd play, but he's been putting up 18.7 points in the last three. He put up 21 in the last game. In a tournament, I can get behind it. 10,900 for Steph Curry. He's just not giving that value at the moment, so I'd rather go somewhere else, especially if he's dealing with a slight niggle in his calf. And Rajon Rondo is at 8,300. Yes, he put up big assist numbers, but it's just not enough at that sort of inflated salary where he's currently sitting. I don't think that we want to go and use him. All right, that is it for the games. Let's bring up the DFS value plays of the day. At point guard, JJ Barea, 4,100. Jeremy Lin, 5,200. And Chris Paul at 9,000. The shooting guards, 4,500 for Rodney Hood. Dwayne Wade at 7,300 and Jimmy Butler at 85. Small forwards Chandler Parsons, 4,500. Omri Caspi, 51. And LeBron James at 10,000. Power forwards Taj Gibson, 47. Dirk Nowitzki, 6,900. Draymond Green, 9,200. And at center, Andrew Bogut, 43. Hassan Whiteside, 75. And Nick Vucevic at 8,000. Don't forget, guys, follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Leave a review on iTunes, and that can get you to be the sponsor of the podcast for a day and also to help the podcast out. Thank you to everyone who has done that. Check out basketballmonster.com and the Basketball Monster Twitter feed. BaskMonster is the Twitter handle. And, of course, Hardwood Paroxysm for all great podcasts and great basketball articles over there. We're churning out quite a bit of stuff over at Hardwood Paroxysm, so I do encourage you to go and check that out. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.